Let's get into it with my next guest, who's done some research uncovering a change in behavior of sea urchins here off the coast of Vancouver Island that could be linked to things like that blob you might have heard about, that big, I don't know, a warm spot in the ocean that floats around sometimes or was floating around for a particular time. I want to find out more. My guest is the lead author on this study from Memorial University of Newfoundland. He's also a UVic Faculty of Science alumni. His name is Rylan Command. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thanks so much for having me, Ryan.
Did I get that kind of characterization right about what this is looking into?
Yeah, that sounded good.
Yeah, so elaborate a little bit on what you were looking into and how sea urchins and the blob, that big warm water spot, plays into the whole thing.
Sure. So this research project made up part of my master's thesis at Memorial University. And we were interested in how sea urchins, these pink sea urchins, were changing or responding to ocean change. We got the idea, kind of, it's based off of a study that was done in California a few years ago that found that these sea urchins are moving into shallower waters than they're typically found as a result of expanding low oxygen conditions at the bottom of the ocean.
And does that mean, like, here, this is off Vancouver Island, does this mean we're seeing more of them coming in closer to where you'd see them along the shoreline, or what's the observable thing?
So not quite that shallow
yet
that we've observed. Yeah, so we're seeing them moving into waters that are about 60 to 70 meters.
Oh, okay. So still deep. You wouldn't be wading in it, but it's just shallower than they're usually found.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. So we're seeing them expand into shallower water. And during the study period, there also happened to be this marine heat wave, so the blob that you mentioned, between 2013 and 2016. And what happened during the blob, in part, was it sort of decimated and had a large effect on coastal kelps and marine primary productivity. So these pink urchins, they feed on kelp that gets washed into deeper waters, or swept down slope into deeper waters. And so we were interested in seeing if there was any noticeable effect on these urchins as a result of the blob.
Okay. And what did you find?
Well, first we found, in terms of the heat wave itself, the pink urchin densities on the seabed were correlated with the marine heat wave conditions. So during the blob, we observed fewer urchins at our observatory, and before and after the blob, we observed more.
So they went back afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. We did see more after the blob.
Okay. But you said that the blob, and maybe we should explain the blob. Sorry, I have a question here, but just I think a lot of people heard about this because this was in the news a lot, this giant warm water patch that was floating around in the Pacific Ocean is my extreme layman's way of explaining it. But can you explain what this thing was?
That's basically the gist of it. Yeah, it was a large patch of warm water that formed off the west coast of North America and sort of moved its way from Alaska down to California over the course of 2 years or so.
And it's gone now.
It is gone now. Yeah, it was a temporary heat wave, but there are other heat waves that have happened in that time. This was one big one that persisted for so long.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so just to establish the blob, and so you were saying that you found that when the blob was active, the sea urchins in those areas, such as the coast here, moved into shallower water, and then once the blob passed, they've moved back. And were you saying it's not because of the warm temperatures, it was because of a lack of oxygen caused by that?
So how I think the blob plays into the story is that there was less food available potentially for the sea urchins as a result of having less kelp. And then the other part of the story is the low oxygen sort of in deeper water, low oxygen water is moving into shallower waters and sort of potentially driving these sea urchins into shallower waters where there's more oxygen.
Okay. All right. So this,
yeah.
This sort of explains some of the movement and behavior of these particular sea urchins here off the coast of Vancouver Island. Now, what's the big takeaway here? So now that you've kind of looked into this, and why is it important to know this?
Yeah, so the big reason, I think, is that changes in the environment have impacts on species. Every animal has a particular range that it's comfortable living in, and as the environment changes with climate change, the ocean is warming, oxygen is acidifying, all these types of changes, the distribution of species can change, and that can have effects on other species. So one example of this is if the sea urchins are moving into shallower water, they might start competing with shallow water sea urchins, some of which we fish. So like red sea urchins, for example, are an important fishery. And then that could start having impacts on people. Even though it's a deep water species, it could start to influence things that we rely on as well.
So I guess in the context of climate change, it's just sort of a sense of how dramatic things can move just when you get a bit of warm water.
Exactly.
That's right. Huh. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing this story with us, sharing some of your findings. Again, I'm talking to Rylan Command. He's the lead author from Memorial University of Newfoundland into this research paper. He's also a UVic Faculty of Science alumni, looking into a change in behavior of these pink sea urchins here off the coast of Vancouver Island, moving a bit after that big blob was active a few years ago. Is there anything else to add or anything interesting we missed?
Two things, I guess, that I think were really, really interesting and cool about this project. We were able to combine both the fixed observatory that we use that is operated by Ocean Networks Canada, which gave us a very high resolution time series from the seafloor, with trawl survey data that was collected by Fisheries and Oceans Canada to get a full coverage of the whole coast of Vancouver Island. So it was really like a holistic story, combining these two different data sources.
Oh, cool.
And the other thing I think is really amazing about this is that all of the data that I used for this project is all freely available and open access online. So I'm currently living in Newfoundland. My original research project was kind of derailed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. My fieldwork was canceled, and I was able to shift and use this data that was already been collected because it was available online. So.
And that's through Ocean Networks Canada, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, they were just in the news yesterday. They got a bunch of federal money. So I here's an example of where that money goes.
Exactly.
Hey, well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to meet you. Again, Rylan Command. Well, have a great day, and hoping for the best for those sea urchins.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate your time.